All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Achievement Apex podcast, the podcast where I share my knowledge and experience on investing, day trading, and other topics so that you can learn something valuable to improve your life in one way or another. I'm your host, Brendan Murphy, and today I'm going to be teaching you everything that you need to know to make a profitable strategy from start to finish. So if you're someone that's been trying to make your own strategy for some time, you don't know really anything about it, or you've got other people's strategies and you try to learn from them to make your own, no matter what it is and what position you're at, you're going to be able to walk away after this podcast knowing exactly what you need to do to be successful. So we'll start off with answering the question, why do we even need a strategy? Why can't I just hop into the market, wait for it to drop, buy, wait for it to go up and sell high? I mean, that's the theory, right? You buy low, sell high, and that's how you make money. The problem with this approach is that there's no predictability or consistency with your results. So basically winging it, there will be times where winging it makes money. You're going to wing it and you're going to make money. You're going to be like, oh yeah, this is easy, boy. And then the next week, you're going to lose just as much. And you're going to think, where did I go wrong? I was doing so good last week. So basically that's the problem with winging it. You're just going to be losing, winning, losing, winning, losing, winning, probably losing more than you win because there's no rhyme or reason. So when you do something good, you don't know why it worked. And when you do something bad, you don't know why it didn't work. And you can try to come up with reasons why you think they're good or bad, but they're probably going to be wrong, or at least not 100% right. So basically, when you have a strategy, it allows you to have a very clear set of rules that you follow. So when things go wrong, you know exactly why they went wrong. You can say with this set of rules and this set of market conditions, it didn't work so well together. So then you can change the set of rules for those market conditions. And basically you do this over time, and having a strategy allows you to get high quality, consistent entries and exits that lead to a profit curve of consistently making money over time. So now that we know why you need a strategy, what exactly makes a good strategy? Because we all know there are strategies out there that are just poop, and there's strategies out there that are so good, you'd think they would be insider trading. A not so good strategy is one that leaves a lot of room for interpretation. So let me give an example of the bad strategy. When the moving average crosses up, buy with a small position size. That's it. That's the whole strategy. The problem with this is that one, small position size, what does that mean? One could be small. One could be big if you don't have enough money. And then the lack of an exit system, basically, even if you get in and you get these good entries, when do you take profit? And if you're losing, when do you cut your losses? Conversely, a good strategy is one that says, this is exactly when you need to enter. This is where you set your stop loss. This is your take profit. This is how you scale in. This is how you scale out. This is what happens in these market conditions. If you're losing for a week, okay, figure out why, and then adjust the strategy. That's what sets them apart. The bad strategy has almost no rules, and the small rules they have are vague. A good strategy is very, very detailed. No matter what question you ask, it's answered in the strategy. There's nothing left up to question. So now that you know why you need a strategy and what makes a good strategy, let's get into the good part, which is how to make one. I've got 19 steps written down here. So I'm covering literally everything to do with creating a good strategy. And it all starts with step number one, which is deciding your investing style. I've talked about this in previous episodes, but basically you have investors, which generally only take long positions and they hold their positions passively for a long period of time. Then you have swing traders, which generally hold their positions for usually a week or a few weeks, maybe a month. Then day traders, they're generally entering and exiting positions within the trading day. And then scalpers, they're profiting off little micro fluctuations in the market. And I see lately with the media that they're very like glorifying day trading as, day trading is the magic way to make money. It's so easy. Buy my course, buy my strategy. But really, they should be teaching you that if you're not like emotionally built to be a day trader, then it's not going to work for you. If you can't handle that fast-paced, stressful environment, then you should probably like be an investor. It's a lot less stress. And if you would have performed better as an investor with the low stress and you try to force yourself to be a scalper or a day trader, that stress is going to lead to like in the moment errors. So you're going to be sitting at the computer and you're going to be like watching the chart. Oh, it drops. Okay, that's a buy. The lines of the strategy. Good, 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 good. It drops. It hits your take profit. No. I can't take the loss. Okay, let's go down. We'll place a new one here. It reaches that. All right, let's take the loss. Okay, another entry. Hit the take profit. No, it's going higher. You see, it can be overwhelming when you're not like prepared for that. So that's step number one. Make sure you know what your investing style is. And if you're following along with this podcast to make your own strategy, then you should write the answers to all of these steps down. Decide your investing style. If you have done it, write it down. Step number two is write down your trading hours. If you're sleeping from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., you're never going to be trading from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. So when you're making your strategy to backtest, you want to make sure you're never taking trades during those hours. If you're away from home, like at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. for, I don't know, like the gym or you have work, whatever it is, if there's times of the day where you can't trade, write them down too. So your sleep and whatever your schedule has that you can't trade during that time, write that down, because this is important when it comes to backtesting and making sure the results are accurate. Step number three, you need to decide what the maximum level of drawdown is that you can tolerate. So if you're starting out with $10,000 and you can only afford to lose $1,000, any more than that and you start being stressed and more likely like prone to error in your trading. So your maximum drawdown at that point would be 10%. If you can only risk a $500 loss, then it'll be 5%. If you can stomach a $5,000 loss and you're honest in that assessment, then your max drawdown would be 50%. Although I would recommend very heavily against 50% because 50% hurts. But whatever your percentage is, it's once again up to you and what you can handle without becoming stressed out and prone to like psychological errors and influences in your trading. So write down your maximum drawdown. Okay, so those three things, your trading style, trading hours, and maximum drawdown, these are like the foundation of your strategy. These are the rules that can never be violated no matter what. So now that you have the foundation, it's time to get into like the actual technical part of it. So step number four of creating a strategy is deciding your qualifying indicator. A qualifier is something that tells you whether it's okay to buy or sell. What I like to do is use a moving average to determine whether I'm allowed to take buys or sells. So if the moving average is pointing down, I like to only take sells at that point. If it's pointing up, I like to only take buys at that point. But just because I use a moving average doesn't mean that you have to. There are plenty of other things you can use. Like for example, you could have a qualifier as I'm only taking trades when volume is above 100,000 trades or whatever. Another example could be I'm only taking trades when the volatility is greater than, you know, whatever number, but ultimately it's up to you. And you can combine qualifiers too. You don't have to use just one, but you should be careful when drilling like too hard down with qualifiers upon qualifiers on top of qualifiers. What happens if you use too many is you start to have a small number of trades. And what that does is it makes your backtests less indicative of future performance. So if you backtest for 10 years and you get one trade per year, your backtest might say you have 100% accuracy, but it's only going to take one trade for that accuracy to drop by almost 10%. And that one trade could wipe out all of your profit that you made over the 10 years. So the more trades you take, the more accurate your backtest is. But at the same time, you don't want to take so many trades that you're overtrading or risking emotional influences or that your qualifiers are just useless at that point. It's about finding like a middle ground between high quality entries, but enough entries that you're getting accurate test results. Then step number five is decide your entry indicator. Your entry indicator is another indicator that when a certain rule is met, it allows you to actually make the entry. So if my qualifier is moving average points down for short, then ideally I want to get in when the price is higher, right? So if it's below the moving average and then it makes a quick jump up, but it's still below the moving average, I could use an RSI as the entry indicator to get that entry during that quick pullback. And again, you don't have to use the RSI just because I do. You can use any indicator. You could use Dongjian channels. If it falls below and makes a new low, then you enter or makes a new high. If it breaks resistance and continues the trend, then you buy. It's ultimately up to you, your trading style, whether you're trading on a short time frame, a long time frame, but whatever it is, make sure that again, it generates enough trades that you're getting accurate backtest results. Step number six is decide your supporting indicators. So you have your qualifier and your entry signal. When they're met, you enter. You have a good number of trades, but it's not too many. You're getting very high quality entries. What do supporting indicators do then? For me in my trading, I have a factor that I call confidence. And when supporting indicators also suggest the same thing as the main ones, then I'll increase my position size. And then if the supporting indicators are going against what the main ones are saying, I'll reduce the position size. Over a long period of time, this leads to bigger winners and smaller losers. So if you have the moving average pointing up and the RSI says buy, and then you also have a supporting indicator such as the on balance volume pointing up as well, then that's now three indicators you have that are saying buy, which means it's a more powerful entry signal than if just the two had said buy. So in this, you might increase your position size by, 5%. Why such a small number? Because the more supporting indicators you add, the more that percentage increase multiplies. So if you have 10 supporting indicators and each of them increased by 5%, then you could be having up to a 50% increase in position size. So you want to keep the number small enough that you don't multiply your risk so much that at some point in the future, you might take a big, massive drawdown. But as far as I know, not everyone uses supporting indicators in the same way that I do. I think a lot of people sort of just use them as like more qualifiers where everything has to line up to get an entry. But in my opinion, that just like reduces your number of trades too much and it reduces your profit too much without actually reducing your drawdown by a significant amount. So I like to use them to increase confidence and position size. So now that you've determined what your position size increase or decrease will be with your supporting indicators, it's time to decide your baseline position size. So let's say you have $10,000 and you're going to enter each trade with $100. That's your base position size. That would mean with 10 supporting indicators of 5% influence, that if everything lines up, you could be going in with $150 instead of $100. And then if the supporting indicators don't line up, then you could be going in with $50 instead of $100. So that gives you the chance to times your profits by 1.5 and reduce your drawdowns by 50%. I believe in trading with the lowest position size possible to reach your profit goals without going above your drawdown. I think needlessly trading with stupidly high position sizes is a good way to lead to blowing up your account when market conditions change. Speaking of market conditions changing, make sure when you are deciding on your qualifiers and your entry signals and that, make sure you're considering the future. Just because your back test over the last 2 years doesn't have a market crash, doesn't mean there's not going to be one in the future. So try to think about if something that hasn't happened recently will happen in the future, how will that affect your strategy? That's one reason I like using the moving average as a qualifier, because if the moving average is pointing up and then the price crashes and falls below, that basically tells me, okay, don't take any long positions because we're crashing. So that saves me a lot of money when the market does crash. Okay, so now you've decided your hours, your trading style, your maximum drawdown, your qualifier, entry signals, and your supporting indicators, and your baseline position size. This is the foundation of your strategy. You now have a working strategy that hopefully makes money. Next thing to do, which is number 8, is backtest. With backtesting, the longer the better. You can use like automated tools such as TradingView's backtest platform, but to use that, you have to know how to code with their PineScript language. If you don't, then you got to do it manually, which takes a lot longer, but I actually find that doing it manually does increase your like knowledge of your strategy. With an automatic backtest, all it does is do it for you and it spits out the average results for you, but you don't actually have an understanding of like what kind of streaks do you go on? What kind of level of winner to loser do you have? Whereas if you do it manually, you kind of get a sense of what actually happens. I remember there was one strategy I had and it was making money, and then I took a big loss and I was like, ooh, this is scary. So I went and actually manually backtested, because at the time I wasn't really like confident in the automatic backtest. So I manually backtested and I saw that the profits and losses came in waves. There was a wave of big profit followed by a wave of moderate losses, and they came in like strings. So at that point I was like, oh, well, this string of losses I just had aligns perfectly with the strategy. So I kept following it, and sure enough, I got another big string of winners. So just because you may not have access to an automatic backtest tool or something like that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I think actually manually backtesting can be more valuable. So when you backtest, make sure you're not taking trades during your non-trading hours. Make sure you follow every single trade that shows up. And if you can, backtest without seeing future data. On TradingView, there's a tool that lets you like go back to a point in history without seeing the future data. So then you just click cross bar by bar by bar, and it shows it up as if it was like happening right now. And as soon as a buy position shows up, you take it. Because I find that manually backtesting, while you can see future data, can kind of like sway your thinking and say, oh, would I take that? No, I wouldn't take that position because you can see it's going to lose. So make sure you're being honest and taking every signal it generates. All right, now once you've backtested, you have to collect a bunch of information about the backtest. So you'll want to be tracking the total amount of trades, the amount of winners, the amount of losers, your win percentage, your biggest win, your biggest loss, your average win, and your average loss. They're kind of the essentials you need to track. You should also be taking notes on when you have a losing trade, what made that trade lose, and when you have a winning trade, what made that trade win. And then once you finish the back test, you should have kind of like on average what causes the losers and on average what causes the winners. Then when you have all of this data and the takeaways, you can adjust your strategy now. And that might be with like, say, a shorter moving average or a bigger length for the RSI, or increasing the position size on what made those winners good and reducing it on what made the losers bad. Once you adjust your strategy in light of this backtest information, you then want to go back and backtest again with the new strategy that you've just created. So you go ahead and you backtest again, you should have better results. And once again, you track all of this information, you write down what made the winners win and what made the losers lose. And then you try to do more adjusting to the strategy. You make the winners better, you make the losers better by losing less. And then once again, you can backtest again. The results now should be super duper good. And you can repeat this process as much as you want. The more you do it, the better your strategy will be. Although you need to keep in mind that doing this is hyper-optimizing it for past results. If you do this too much, you need to be careful with like position size increases, that you're not setting yourself up for big risk in the future. So keep that in mind, because that was a problem that I used to do with my backtesting. But yeah, so the more times you do this cycle, the better your backtest results will be. But at some point, the time it takes to backtest won't be worth the small little incremental gain you get in the strategy. So once you've backtested enough and you got the super duper good results, now it's time to put the strategy into live trading. We're up to step 14, by the way. I stopped counting them at some point. So it's time to put it into live trading. You take every single entry it generates, you follow it perfectly, you're getting in and out at the perfect time, you get the right position sizes, you do it all, and then you're taking notes on all of the trades. You write down every winner, every loser, you write down maybe your emotions during the trade, and after a week, have like a small little, you should do a weekly trading review, like I do. But don't put too much attention on that week's results, because you can have bad weeks, you can have bad months, you can even have bad years of trading. So use that first week to generate suspicions of what you think could be wrong with your strategy. Then you trade for a month and you've got some more concrete information on what works and what doesn't. After a month, I would say you can start making some small changes to the strategy. And then after 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, you should now have some really good quality data that you can use to change your strategy variables to increase its performance again. So that's kind of the second cycle. Instead of backtest and adjust, you're now live trading and adjusting. And when you do the adjustments after the live trading, you should backtest again just to be sure that it is generating better results. Okay, my main camera just ran out of battery. It's being very temperamental. It wouldn't even let me charge it. But anyway, we're getting close to the end now. So that's actually all 19 steps now. So you know how to make a very awesome strategy, backtest it, adjust it, trade live, adjust it, trade live some more. And at this point, you should be making some good profits, some consistent profits. You should have small losses and hopefully they're not coming very often. And the last couple things you want to consider is how much profit should you aim for? At a minimum, I think you should be aiming for at least 10%. And I say this because if you just put money in the S&P 500 or some other similar index, it's going to make you approximately 10% per year just by leaving it and not touching it. And the whole purpose of day trading is to beat the market, because theoretically you're taking advantage of long and short positions, smaller moves in the market, so you should outperform the market. And if you're not making 10% per year, then at that point you should be considering, okay, something's majorly wrong with my strategy. I need to take a good look at it and either make some big adjustments or just start again with something completely different. And you need to be open-minded when the market's telling you, hey, your strategy sucks, dude. Because if you just say, nope, market's wrong, my strategy's good, I'm gonna keep trading it and making my 3% per year that's not even beating inflation, you're just being the big stupid. So you wanna aim for 10% per year at least, and you want to be open-minded about when it's time to create a new strategy. And as far as like a time frame for creating a new strategy, I would say that if you're getting consistently bad results for like 3 months, minimum, then it's probably time to reevaluate your strategy. And a bonus tip for you guys that have stayed here this long, because I appreciate it. When you're trading, I think you should avoid any time frame below the 15-minute mark. Like even 15's pushing it, because at that point, the moves are just so small and you can't really profit off of like any kind of prevailing trend, because you're so zoomed in, like you can't see anything. It's like looking through a telescope. Yeah, you can see that small thing very clearly, but if there's a big ship coming for you and it's going to hit you, you can't see it because you got the telescope. So you need to have a big enough time frame that you do have that kind of broad view of the market. And I know some traders like to have two charts open, one on a longer time frame, like 12 hours or one day or even 1 week, to see the overall trend. And then they'll use the short time frame to get accurate entries. So that's just a little tip. Now, to summarize it all very quickly, if you just want to take small notes at the end, you need a strategy, because winging it is the big stupid. A good strategy leaves nothing up to question. To make a strategy, you need to decide your investing style, decide your trading hours, decide your maximum drawdown, decide your qualifier, your entry signal, and your supporting indicators, decide your position size, then it's back test, adjust, trade live, adjust, make some big profits, yay, happy life, very cool. So, thank you very much for watching my podcast. I appreciate it. I hope you learned something new. If you did, go ahead and click the like button, smash the like button, hit that subscribe button, click the bell, follow me on social media at The Achievement Apex, look at my website, theachievementapex.com, and all the other cool stuff, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.